Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
Top three favorite segment of mine today and every week on Thursday. The Golden Locks, baby. I can feel all these in my plums because, well, we weren't so hot, Mr. Gold, were we, on our circuit bets week one, and now we're going for the Bobby Award. Should we do this or should we not?
Well, the Booby Award, actually, Booby is what it's called. That would be Booby. The Booby Prize. We're going for the Circa Millions contest. Now, luckily, that was not. Those were picks for, you know, six of us combined. I will point out, I did not personally go 0-5 last week.
Oh,
I
just stop say, it.
You did
stop
not personally
it.
Go 0-5. Well, we do this segment. I want to make sure you know that. Dusty, you didn't go 0-5 either.
Boobs are great.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I loved the Washington pick. I was really interested into that game. But again, you know, it's a team sport, and now we have to suck as a team and a chance to win $25,000.
That is the move. We are closer to winning the last place prize this quarter.
Ooh.
Than the first place prize. There's 300 other entries that went 0-5 like us. There's only 47 entries that went 5-0. And then, as you suspect, there's like a group of 2,200 that went 3-2, another big group that went 2-3. So if we're playing the quarter game, we're better off hoping we go 0-5 or 1-4 this week, because otherwise we're in no man's land. If we go 3-2, we're done for both the quarter for best and quarter for worst.
So what do you get if you get the worst?
$25,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, go for the worst, Alex.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, strive to be the worst, my son.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. So, on this segment, we'll talk about picks I do truly like, but we are going to pick some games that we're not as confident. I know that the joke that everybody can make is, well, just do what you did last week and you'll go 0-5 again. I will say, we've all bet enough over the last couple of years that 4 weeks in a row, have enough knowledge, I think we all do, that you're not going to go 0-5 unless you are intentionally trying to pick some losers as well. I'm not saying you're going to go 5-0, but last week, even though we thought we had some good picks, we had some, this is gambling, we had some that flipped on us, right? Like, you could argue Seattle should have won the game outright, mm-hmm. let alone not cover the 2.5 against the 49ers. And then, you know, Pittsburgh covered by 2. They need to cover by 3. There were moments there where they probably should have covered. The only one that was a complete miss was Miami. There were three people in our group that won in Miami, not Indy, and that thing was over very quick.
Well, I think it's interesting, though, because people say, well, just do what you did last week. You do realize, like, picking the loser is as hard as picking the winner, right?
Yeah. Of course it's going to be Bob, you know, but we're going to pick some games. Like, we're going to overthink the heck out of this now this week. You know that.
Oh,
we're, you
God,
know, so,
yes.
We're going to try. We're going to try. We think we got the boss on board. He was a little skeptical.
Little.
We got Bink on board, too. Bink called me about 5 times yesterday asking if we're tanking or not, and I said, yes, we're tanking for this week, and then we'll see how it goes. And last week, guys, was a rough one, though, truly, for the public. And the betting public is, you know, teams that get 51% or more of the tickets on the spread. And so in week one, the betting public had their worst week since week 5 all the way back in 2022. And so it was, you know, if you're someone that's listening, you didn't have a great week betting, like, yeah, join the club, right? Like, that was a majority of people this past week. And the same thing with the unders, you know, because the public loves points. Who doesn't love points and scoring? And so most people like betting overs, not unders. Well, last week, unders went 12-4, which was tied for the lowest mark for any season since 2000. So it was a rough week one.
Here's a question that you may have an answer to, you may not. But week one, like, how much of that is a trend and that carries over? How much of that is an anomaly?
Yeah, we're going to find out. I mean, the trends last year was all about, you know, how favorites fared, and it was a year in which more and more of the favorites were winning, and then, you know, we'll see how that shifts moving forward. I don't think we should now assume that every game is going to be under. In fact, usually this is the kind of week where it reverts back, and we're going to be sitting here next week, and we find out that, you know, 10 of the games went over, you know, as the offenses catch up to the defense after week one or something like that, and teams are a little bit sharper. So I don't think people should overreact on the totals from last week, and whatever your thought process was for betting unders or overs last week, I would stick with it. But just in general, it's the, like, we all play fantasy football as well, and people like points. And so, like, it's tough for, I think, the general public to just go and bet unders, because that's not fun.
100%. Yeah.
But you know what's fun is winning money too, but it's not fun rooting for a team to go 3-and-out on the first three possessions of the game, and so everybody bets overs.
Alex, let's get into the game tonight. It's a juicy matchup. Packers, Commanders in Green Bay, should be a fun one. Lots of star power on the field. Where are you leaning in this game? What do you like? What do you not like? It looks like the over-under is like 48.5, I think, the last time I saw this morning. That seems juicy for a team in Green Bay that's got a pretty solid defense.
Well, and that's what I like about this game is we all saw Green Bay look awesome, to say the least, against the Detroit Lions. And so, and I do think they're a Super Bowl contender. I have them in the Super Bowl this year. But is the reaction too much to where now we're just thinking they're going to roll through this thing? And they're taking on a Commanders team. Yes, it's a short week on the road. But I get a Commanders team that, to me, has one of those really special quarterbacks. I think we all agree there. They have, you know, a wide receiver in Terry McLaurin who has plenty of experience with these short turnarounds, these environments as well, to settle in. And I'm getting 3.5 points on the road. Mm-hmm. I like the Commanders to cover. I don't know if they win this thing outright. The Packers, to me, are the better football team. But this early in the year, when not everything's clicking, when Micah Parsons still hasn't been in that defense fully yet, even though he was effective in the snaps, of course, he got. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that I'm getting 3.5, and that half point is so crucial. You guys know this. We talk about all the time. You know, if it was 2.5 or 3, it's a different story, but I'm getting 3.5. They could lose by 3, and we still cash our tickets. So I'm on the Commanders plus 3.5. And then individually, I think there's some prop bets that are fun tonight and some good value. You know, Jaden Daniels, the quarterback there for Washington, his over-under rushing is 46.5 yards. 46 or more rushing yards. He did that in 7 of his last 10 games last year. I don't think this offense is much different. Cliff Kingsbury's still the offensive coordinator. So even if you believe that the Packers are going to have all kinds of success getting after Jaden Daniels, well, if they're not design runs, if he's getting pressured, he's going to run out of the pocket, and he's bound to pick up some yards just on those. So I like the over 46.5 rushing yards for Jaden Daniels.
All right, let me ask a kind of a philosophical question when it comes to gambling. You know, week one is in the books now, and here we are sitting in the second week of the season. You talked about last year. How much do you factor in last year's stuff when you're gambling this year?
I think on individual players, I lean more into that than I do overall teams. You know, so like last week we brought up the trend of, what was it? It was like the, you know, people were bringing up Andy Reid in week one, Harbaugh in week one trend. And now, in fair, you know, Harbaugh's now 6-0, I think, against the spread in week one. And maybe it is something that people are going to start leaning in on more. I don't buy into the team trends from last year carrying over as much as I do individual players. So like the Chiefs, you know, winning 17 one-score games last year, that already ended in week one last week against the Chargers. But individual players, like, especially with quarterbacks, like Jaden Daniels, to me, even if you think that he's going to take a slight step back, we know a huge part of his game is going to be running the football, being mobile and having that ability, which is why, like, I still feel good about the rushing yards for him. So it's more about individual props and players that we know about that I'm more confident in carrying over than, hey, this team was, under city throughout the season. They most of their games went under. Well, okay, it's a completely different schedule. It's a completely different scheme. I mean, look at the Chiefs' defense from week 16 last year, guys, to what we just saw in week one.
Yeah,
so
right.
I think the team stuff is a little bit different on the trends, and I wouldn't lean too much into that this early on in the year.
All right, let's look at the Chiefs and Eagles this weekend. Obviously a big one out at Arrowhead. How are you handicapping this sucker?
Well, the Chiefs are 1.5-point dogs, guys, at FanDuel, and we'll see if this stays where it's at because that's significant. You know, Patrick Mahomes, this is his 69th career home starts.
Nice.
And he is, yeah, it is. And he has closed as an underdog just once in the first 68. So this would only be the second time at Arrowhead, or at least as a home game, I should say, for Mahomes, that he will be a dog. The last time and the only time he was a dog at home was against the Bills in 2022, and you might say, okay, well, what was the spread? What was the result? The Chiefs were 2.5-point dogs to Buffalo in that game. It was a regular season contest, and the Chiefs lost outright 24-20. And even if you're thinking about short favorites, you know, the Chiefs, let's say this thing flips and the Chiefs end up closing against the Eagles, and I don't think they will, as like a 1-point favorite. Mahomes has only closed as a 1.5-point favorite or less three times at home, and all three of those came against the Bills. So they've been either playoff games or big games against the Buffalo Bills. So we're in, you know, rare territory here for Patrick Mahomes being a dog. And I guess this is why I know you guys have talked about it too. Just what's the feeling if this team drops to 0-2? What's the feeling if they get to 1-1 and the narratives shift completely? And so are you still believing that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are still this same team, this same middle of the same era of football and everything? Or do you think, look, they're not going to be as dominant? And so going back to trends, the fact that normally it's an automatic bet, Mahomes the dog at home, and some people maybe think, well, that's a different team. I'm still taking Patrick Mahomes at this point in time as a dog at Arrowhead Stadium, especially in the season opener. I get 1.5 with a guy that I still think is the best quarterback in football. We saw him obviously have to put the team on his back last week, and it wasn't good enough because of everything else that was going on with this football team. But until this is one of those where truly I will continue to bet it until you know, you're proven wrong, you know, on a fact that I get the best quarterback in football at home getting points.
I will bring this up because you know how I love individual prop bets in the NFL. And last week you gave us a really good one on Juju Smith-Schuster at that 19.5, crushed that, which for us, you know, Alex, that kind of screws us in the future because now that 19.5 is going to skyrocket to about 26, 27.5. Is there a receiver or a tight end that you necessarily like in this game? You don't have to necessarily bring up props or numbers or anything like that, but maybe somebody gets a little bit more attention now that you don't have Xavier Worthy in your play calling setup. You have something, a whole new different game plan. Like, is there a running back that you like? Because they say they're going to run the ball. Is there a receiver that you like that's going to step up, or maybe like a Noah Gray candidate?
I'm glad you brought up the tight end there and Noah Gray, because Cody and I were joking before the show and we were trying to think of tight ends, props, and you know what the market might look like in the touchdowns. I don't know if you guys noticed, and he was active on Sunday, or I guess Friday, last Friday. Robert Tonyan is 30-1, guys, to get a touchdown. 30-1 at FanDuel right now. I think the Chiefs are going to use more multiple tight end sets. He'll be active again. We saw, I know it was preseason football, but I think Mahomes does trust him a little bit. What a little guy's little second and goal at the 4-yard line, a little play action. Tonyan's just open in the corner of the end zone. I like a flyer, just a little flyer on Robert Tonyan, 30-1 to get a touchdown. And if you really are excited, first touchdown's 100-1.
Wow.
That's a bet that I'm going to at least put like $5 on.
Are you putting that on the big board in the boss's office for an anytime touchdown? So you going with Bob Tonyan?
I want to.
So do it then, well, Alex. Who's holding you back?
Well, the boss is, because I'm told we can only use DraftKings in that contest, and he's not on the board on DraftKings. So he's only on the board at FanDuel.
Really?
Because trust me, I want to use Robert Tonyan 30-1 for the contest this week, but I don't think I'm allowed to.
Oh, that's a loophole. We're out of it. Just put him on the board, okay?
I want the bet there. That, you know, people won't be happy, but if you do that and you hit it in our in-office contest, it's over already.
Well, I hit plus 1,800 last week. You know, Travis Kelce, you know, plus 180 to score an anytime touchdown.
Yeah, I'll say not 18-1, Bob.
No,
yeah, well,
no,
plus
no,
180,
plus 180.
But you're better shape than a lot of us.
First off,
explain to me, everybody. Explain what DraftKings is doing, having Carson Steele on there at plus 1,400 at any time.
Come
touchdown.
On, Arkins. Carson Steele's on the practice squad.
Yeah, I don't know why. I noticed that FanDuel, or compared to like DraftKings is only offering touchdown bets on players 15-1 or lower, whereas FanDuel lets you bet on some guys that are 17-1, 20-1, 30-1. So hopefully they get that added, because if Robert Tonyan ends up on DraftKings, I am going to enter 30-1.
Will Shipley's on there, and he's not even playing.
He's hurt. He's hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand the 15-1 or lower. That doesn't make any sense to me either. All right, rookie of the year. Who's the biggest mover after week one?
So this is the wide receiver down in Tampa. Anybody that plays fantasy football are feeling pretty good if they drafted this kid already. Amika Egbuka, wide receiver with the Bucs for Baker Mayfield, one of his top targets now. He's a starting slot receiver for Tampa. McMillan's hurt. We know Chris Godwin's on the PUP list. And he had two touchdowns last week, I think 40-something yards receiving, but one of the touchdowns was the game winner. Mm-hmm. He's going to continue to get plenty of volume and opportunity. He was 17-1, guys, before last week. He's jumped all the way up to 7-1. He has the third-best odds at FanDuel to win it. He's behind Ashton Jeanty, who's still the favorite, even though he just kind of had an okay week one. And then Cam Ward, because he's a quarterback, is always going to be in the mix. He has the second-best odds, but I think Egbuka's going to be in the mix the whole year just because of the opportunity he's going to get. You know, he's got some odds, long-term trends against him in terms of the position he plays. Over the last 6 years, quarterbacks have won the Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, four times. The other two were wide receivers, though, so it's possible. It has happened, and this year you only have one quarterback that you're most likely competing with. This is not last year where you have three rookie quarterbacks or something like that. It's just Cam Ward. So that makes it really interesting. The only thing I'll say about one quarterback, if you're asking for a dart throw still, and I swear, no pun intended, Jackson Dart, if he actually starts in the next week or two, I don't hate, you know, throwing a few bucks, Dusty, 20-1 for Jackson Dart.
Yeah, he's on DraftKings plus 2,200. I want to bring this up real quickly because I look at, you know, the MVP odds and Josh Allen sitting at the top, Lamar Jackson third, and Jordan Love at 1,000. If Jordan Love wins this game tonight against Washington, there's got to be a flyer on that man as well for the MVP.
The tricky thing for him is going to be still the stats and where he racks up. You know, he's going to hit all the qualifiers probably. Like, you know, if they win tonight, now it's not a divisional game, but if you believe the Packers are going to win their division, if that's the case, okay, that's the first benchmark that I think we hit on last week a little bit that you have to have. And then, you know, typically you got to be one of the top one, two seeds in your conference. Okay, the Packers seem like they're in play for that. So he'll hit those like minimum requirements. I just don't know statistically if he's going to put up big enough numbers to overtake. Let's say Josh Allen is the one seed for Buffalo. We know the numbers are going to be there for him. Same thing applies for Lamar Jackson, although the head-to-head loss in week one might already have hurt them, you know, for the number one seed. That might have already ended it for Baltimore, frankly, because of the loss to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So I don't like Love at 11-1 only because number-wise, it's not the same issue with Jalen Hurts where he's only going to throw, you know, 3,100 yards. Mm-hmm. But Jordan Love, is he going to throw for 4,200 yards this season and be towards the top in touchdowns? I don't think that's their style of play in Green Bay, especially with this defense that they got right now with the Packers as well. So unless you think, you know, Golden, the rookie wide receiver, is going to come along pretty quick, and they're going to start being able to have some big, big plays down the field, and Love's going to put up the huge numbers. I actually don't like Jordan Love at 11-1.
All right, what's coming up on your show?
Yeah, where are you guys at so people can see your sexy asses?
Yeah, we don't have a camera set up today, but we are
in person.
They
can come see. All the ladies are looking for you. Where should they go?
That's right. They can join us in person at Barry Woods.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Crossing. That's the Rally House location we're at today. We've got a $250 gift card. People will be able to register to win as well. Perfect time to get geared up for the Chiefs game, of course, on Sunday against the Eagles. Plus, Danon Hughes going to join us at 11 o'clock. Tyrann Mathieu, Super Bowl champion, former Chiefs safety, is banging the drum. He'll join us at 11:30. So, nice. Fun show coming up.
All right.
Good deal.
We'll talk to you next Thursday. We'll see Monday.
There you go. Thanks.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.